Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. We're having our open talk segment tonight, so it should be interesting, and we've got a lot to go over. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we'll report on the latest U.S. politics and current world events shaping our lives. Call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and be respectful to the host and to other callers who may be online at the same time. Thanks for sharing across all social media and by word of mouth. We appreciate the feedback on Facebook as well. You can visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with David Franklin and Laura Picker. For October 15, 2023, we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so first on the agenda, Israel vowed to demolish Hamas troops prepared to move in on Gaza. Mm-hmm. And the latest development is that Egypt's Sisi says Israel's response to Hamas attacks are beyond the right to self-defense. More than 1,000 people estimated to be missing under rubble in the Gaza Strip. And Israel says 600,000 Palestinians have left North Gaza. Iran's foreign minister warns, and I quote, "If the Zionist aggression do not stop, the hands of all parties in the region are on the trigger." So Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, vowed on Sunday, today, to demolish Hamas as his troops prepare to move into Gaza Strip in pursuit of Hamas militants whose deadly rampage throughout Israel border towns shocked the world. Israel has urged exhausted Gazans to evacuate south, which hundreds of thousands have already done in the besieged enclave that is home to more than 2 million people. Hamas, which runs Gaza, has told people to ignore Israel's message. So inside Gaza's narrow and crowded street conditions were decorating as deaths from Israel airstrikes rose. Bodies were stored in ice cream freezer trucks, bodies moving them to because moving them to hospitals, with some Christian cemeteries were full. With fears of a conflict spilling further, United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken continued his tour in the Middle East states, seeking to prevent escalation to the release of 155 hostages Israel says were taken by Hamas back into Gaza. So Arab leaders stressed the need to protect Gaza civilians. And according to Egypt's president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, of Israel retaliatory strikes, I quote, "The reaction went beyond the right of self-defense, turning it into collective punishment." Could you stop? Jesus. Clashes on Israel's border with Lebanon, the deadliest since 2006, have underscored the dangers of regional spillover. On Sunday, Hamas armed wing Al-Qassam brigades said it fired 20 rockets from Lebanon into two Israeli settlements, while Lebanon's Hezbollah militia said it fired missiles at Israel barracks in Hanita and had inflicted casualties. So Israel said now it was striking Lebanon in retaliation, and the UN peacekeeping force said its headquarters in South Lebanon has been hit by a rocket. Iran, which backs both Hamas and Hezbollah, warned Israel of escalation if it kept attacking Palestinians. So the foreign minister of Egypt, Hossein Amirabadarian, I really messed up that name, said that if the Zionist aggression do not stop, the hands of all parties in the region are on a trigger, adding that Tehran could not simply stay as an observer. So Blinken met Saudi Arabian Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, then Sisi in Cairo, the capital of Egypt, amid international efforts to raise the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Secretary of State Blinken said that Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt would reopen. So, you know, Israel has a resolve to really wipe out Hamas, and they're going to put ground troops on inside Gaza soon and everything. What's your take on it? Do you think it will be a peaceful, amicable solution, or do you think, you know, this is the end of Gaza as we know it?
Well, I hope President Biden, first of all, is pushing for, you know, humanitarian way out of Gaza, you know, for the that are there, the you know, everyone else that is trapped there. So he is working on that. We know that there's over 120 hostages there. Some are American, and we do know that as well. You're right. The Israel military is preparing, you know, the expected ground offensive in Gaza. But it seems like I thought that maybe it was going to happen, you know, yesterday or last night, you know, during the night here and more daylight. But I don't think that – I think they're going to maybe listen to President Biden. It sounds like they're going to try to get, you know, these people out of Gaza, because it's not their fault that they're stuck there. So I'm hoping that Hamas just backs off for a little bit so these people can get out. But I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with that. It all depends. They're great people, you know. I mean, after we saw what they did to the babies and the children, and, you know, how horrific what they did to them. So I don't know what's going to happen. We shall see. I just know that President Biden is working very hard. He has been invited to Israel by the prime minister. He didn't say if he was going to go or not. Blinken is still there. You know, we're trying. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. These people are, you know, out of control.
Yes, we'll have people holding now, so we'll put them through.
Go ahead.
Before we put people through, 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from, have all background sounds off. So we'll have Elaine from Michigan, and we'll have Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I will have a call from, where is this? In Charlotte, Prince Edward County, Brunswick County. I think this is, 772 error code in Fort Pierce in Florida. Okay, so we'll have everyone in line. Fort Pierce, welcome to the Kitchen Politics 123 show. What's cooking? What's on your mind tonight? 772 error code. Hello, you're on air. Okay, I guess a person rather listen. Elaine and Khalil, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good evening. Hi.
Okay,
hi guys.
Good, good. Welcome to the show. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes. So what do you think about the latest development in Gaza Strip? Do you think Israel is going overboard and taking revenge and taking it out on innocent people, or are they legitimately looking for Hamas to, like, root them out and, you know, kill them?
I personally do not think that they are taking revenge on Palestinians. I do not. That's my personal opinion from what I've been listening to. I do think that they are angry. You know, it's their 9/11, so to speak, and I understand their anger and their fright and, you know, everything that happened, the way these people were killed and how they were attacked is inhumane, to say the least. So, you know, you have to protect the country and its citizens, of course. But do I think they're going overboard? No, I don't think they're going overboard as of yet. That's my opinion.
Okay. Elaine, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, so far, Israel seems to be using common sense and restraint in going after Hamas and the people that did the atrocities. I just wish that social media would use restraint. And it has just been absolutely horrible. You can some of the things that you see on there, you can see they're blatantly doctored. This should not be. We've got enough suffering going on without having lies for being put on social media, and you know, let this play out and let the truth prevail.
Indeed. Khalil, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I mean, because basically they went back a long time ago when it was Israel and the other Israel and Lebanon. It was a little bit unrestrained. Now it's restrained now, from what I understand.
The thing is, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the thing is with these terrorist groups, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah, you know, you get rid of, let's say, rid of Hamas, even 90% of Hamas, you know, you have another terrorist group, you know, in 6 months or a year, will just be right behind them. It seems like they're just, they continue to train, you know, these young men. They're not even young men. Some are 15 years old. And, you know, just to kill and maim and torture and, you know, rape and everything else. It's just savagery. And I don't understand for what reason. I guess I don't know enough about the whole story, but there's really no excuse to do what they're doing to other human beings. For what reason? What do they get out of it? Do they get pleasure out of it? I don't understand that part of it. And what kind of upset me in the beginning was that Israel right away, you know, turned off their water, their electricity, you know, they have no food coming in or out, or you know, hospitals, you know, medicine, drugs, and because they do have people in the hospital there, I'm sure there's babies in the hospital there, and they're on life support or they're getting treatments, whatever. So that kind of upset me. So now they are, they went back and they are going to supply water, which is, to me, we'll see what happens, you know.
They did show on the news quite a few people that they've helped come out They didn't mm-hmm. say if they were Israelites or they were Palestinians. Mm-hmm. They were, to me, they were just people, and many
yeah.
of these people, whether they're from Israel or from Palestine, it looked like they came from a meager existence. They probably don't even know that all this crap is going on.
No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have a feeling they were living fine with their neighbors. I mean, it's the people in this strip that are they're sitting ducks. For why? Mm-hmm. For power? For greed? For a little piece of land? There was people occupying the land.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were living peacefully. I can't wrap my head around this.
No. And, you know, if you think about it, the Gaza Strip is a small piece of land. And when you have 2 million people living in a small piece of land like that, you have to, you know, it's a meager, like you said, it's a meager existence. They're, you know, on top of each other. You know, the roads aren't done. You know, some don't have cars. They have donkeys and you know, to take them around. It's just, it's not like it's a rich country that, you know what I'm trying to say? I don't understand what do they want? You know, what does Hamas want besides Israel to be taken off the planet, I guess? Is that their goal?
I mean, this hate. They claim it's for God. Well, I don't think God is appreciating what they're doing.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No.
Absolutely. I really do
right.
not think
Israel,
God is appreciating what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't think that Israel is fair to Palestinians as people, because remember, Palestine has been there right before World War II. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the Germans did what they did, to the Jewish people, you know,
yeah.
they didn't think of as people to begin with. You know, all over mm. Europe, people didn't want the Jewish people in their country. So what the United Nations did.
It would be like us going after the Amish. I mean, that's, I'm trying to make a parallel out of it. It would be like
mm-hmm,
all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden we would develop this hatred. And we would go after the Amish because they live on a little piece of land and they live differently
mm-hmm.
than us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't wrap my head around this hate.
No.
I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people
you know,
going
I don't think social media is helping it any. There is so much hate out there about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of feeling for the people on both sides, for 3 days, all I have been running into is hate and more hate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's
yeah,
been a time today that I had to put it down and I had to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes you
well,
do
I had
have
a call from Vero Beach. Vero Beach, Florida, but the person hung up, unfortunately. So, you know,
oh, darn, I wish they would have said that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like to hear another view.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was Jensen Beach, the person's calling from.
Yeah, person that called in from Vero Beach, redial, come on back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. For centuries now, people have been hating on Jews. And anti-Semitism has risen in America, as you know. You know, so it's been there in Palestine and in that Middle East region for the past hundreds of years, even from biblical days. You know, and according to the Jews, it was their land to begin with. You know, and so it's a fight between the Palestinians saying it's their land and the Jews saying it's their land. You know, so. Where does the conflict come in, or where does the solution come in? I was thinking a two-state solution, you know, because remember a couple of weeks back, a caller from Michigan was saying maybe there should be a two-state solution. where that could coexist?
If people would just look at the pictures that they're seeing, can they tell who is Jewish and who is Palestinian, who is an American? I can't.
No,
where's this hate coming from?
Mm-hmm.
The people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the bottom
line. People can tell the difference because, you know, what they're wearing ahead. You know, like Yasser Arafat wore that black and white checkered, I don't remember what we call it. And then Jews wear the yarmulke. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's a telltale sign that, you know, you can differentiate who's who.
But in mm-hmm. some of the pictures I've seen, there hasn't been the yarmulke and there hasn't been the headpieces and the scarves. There's just been people in the courts that have come out. We don't know which one's a Palestinian, which one's a mm-hmm. Jewish person. I just can't fathom this hate anymore.
Well, okay, Muslims are required to wear beards, and you can tell the difference in facial features, the facial structure. You know, well, I can, you know. I've members on both sides.
Well, some Jews are blonde, blue-eyed. Some Jews are dark and curly hair. And the same thing goes with the people from Palestine. Mm-hmm. Some Palestinians are very, very dark, and some are very, very light. We are people. Mm-hmm.
Well, there.
Yeah.
Hey,
there.
Okay. Go ahead, Laurie.
Oh, nothing. I was just saying we all bleed the same. So, and you know, we're just going to have to wait and see because now they're trying to, you know, think about what they're going to do with the hostages. They're trying to, you know, be more humanitarian. But is it possible with the Hamas there? That's the thing. And I think that is the biggest problem with Hamas there,
mm-hmm.
you know, what they're going to do. They have tunnels underground as well, you know, so they're mm-hmm. trying to those tunnels. So it's not something that we can just go in and say, you come out, and it just can't be like that, you know? So we have to wait and see and be patient and just hope that things turn out well, because we don't need another war. We still have Ukraine being bombed the crap out of it from Russia. You know, this morning they were bombing the crap out of Russia. Out of Ukraine. So, you know, that's on the back burner right now for us because of this problem. You know, so how much more, you know, can we put up with and take in on a daily basis? It's really hard. And my
but the thing is, how can you fight Hamas when, you know, it's guerrilla warfare? You don't know who's who. Maybe that's why Israel is going in there.
Yeah.
You don't know who is who because it's a terrorist organization. They're not uniformed, mm-hmm. you know.
No, you don't.
You know,
David,
they hide
right.
behind civilians as human shields, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's
yeah,
I don't know how
scary.
To put it, but
yeah, it's like trying to, you know, trying to fight with, it's a needle in a haystack, sort of. That's how you have to kind of look at it, because you don't, you're right, you don't know who's who, you don't know who's good, you don't know who's a terrorist, you don't know, you know, and then they may have a child in their arms. Are you going to shoot the, you know, take that chance? It's just horrific know how mm-hmm. they're going to be able to do this. And I'm just sorry for the people that are trapped there. That's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because all they want to do is just live their lives and that's it with their families and go on with their days like everybody else. You know, it's just not
mm-hmm.
right. I it's just not right. So let's go on for a moment. Let's just try to get into a little bit better. So President Biden raised $71 million in the third quarter, far outpacing Trump and the Republican field. Now, when I read that this morning, I thought, oh, wow. I mean, maybe people are paying attention. You know, maybe people are seeing that, you know, what's going on, you know, with the house, and we had no speaker of the house, and they're fighting behind closed doors, and they're, you know, F-bombing each other, and, you know, this and that. So maybe people are starting to pay attention, seeing that our government is not functioning the way it should be functioning. You know, we can't, you know, let go of funds to help, let's say, Ukraine or to help Israel because there's no Speaker of the House. And, you know, so
there's a Kremlin caucus. The Kremlin caucus don't know how to govern. And Donald Trump, he has the president, Joe Biden, has doubled the amount that raised in the total war chest. The re-election efforts now has raised $91 million, which is available cash to spend for the Democratic presidential candidate, Joe Biden. He's running for re-election.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Trump campaign raised $45.5 million in the third quarter, which began July 1st and ended September 30th, giving the former president $37.5 million on hand to spend. And, you know, the Republicans, they can't get the act together. It's been 2 weeks now since they get rid of Paul McCarthy. What's his name? Kevin McCarthy. Outer Speaker. And then Jim Jordan ran. He's 100 votes short. The other lunatic, Scalise, he ran, but was like 3 or 4 votes short, if memory serves me correct. You know, so nobody's suitable because they have all baggage and skeletons in the closet. For example, Scalise, you know, chum buddy up with David Duke, the KKK Grand Wizard. And, of course, you know, about Jim Jordan, who, you know, tried to cover up, you know, boys at OSU being raped, you know, the wrestlers and everything. You know, so who in the Republican caucus is worthy to be speaker? And since they're not coming to a compromise with Democrats, to, like, elect Hakeem Jeffries to the post of Speaker of the House on show power, then we're just in a standstill and nothing going to happen. And, you know, how can you blame Democrats for that? That's what Republicans doing. Kevin McCarthy blaming Democrats.
Well, but you know what, David? He can blame the Democrats all they want, all he wants, because we saw what happened. I mean, we saw it. It's not like it was behind closed doors. We saw what happened. You know, we saw how, you know, raping the forehead, you know, started the whole thing and how it went down. And now, you know, now they're infighting. They're fighting with each other. They're arguing. And when they argue behind closed doors, you know that they're not there to have fun. They're there to probably yell at each other and say, you know, I want, you know, this one to be speaker, and they're saying no. I could just imagine, you know, what they're doing. So we are not stupid. You know, we see what's going on. Those of us that can think for ourselves and can read and pay attention understand that the Republican Party as it stands right now, the MAGA Party, they're done. I mean, they have nothing to offer, absolutely nothing to offer. So
yes, and I'm proud of Democrats that are standing up and not they're refusing to help the GOP or to the House Speaker mess. They trash Jim Jordan as an insurrectionist, which he is, and you know, the Republican majority, you know, struggled to elect a new speaker 10 days after booting out Kevin McCarthy. So there's also dialing up of the rhetoric against GOP's new nominee for speaker, Donald Trump, ally Jim Jordan in Ohio, blasting him as an insurrectionist, election-denying extremist, which he is. And according to Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, quote, House Republicans have selected as their nominee to be Speaker of the People's House the chairman of the Chaos Caucus, a defender in a dangerous way of dysfunction, and an extremist extraordinaire. So, you know, he said this on the Capitol steps, flanked by a dozen of Democratic lawmakers.
Quote, its focus has been on peddling lies and conspiracy theories and driving division amongst the American people. And Akeem Jeffers is right because, you know, how can you have an insurrection as a Speaker of the House, a Donald Trump defender, even though we'll have tons of evidence against Donald Trump? He's going to have four trials, you know, one of them going on now. You know, when he was subpoenaed, Jim Jordan, did he show up at his subpoena?
No.
You know, he's bigger than the law, so, you know, we should reward him by electing him Speaker of the House. You know, it's so disgraceful, these Republicans. You know, they have no shame. They have no class. And the minority, the House, for God's sake, is saying, House Minority Whip Catherine Clark of Massachusetts labeled Jordan as an insurrectionist and said he would be a glide path to becoming Speaker, if not for the unified opposition of Democrats. He was directly involved in the right-wing coup that sought to overturn the 2020 elections, and referring to Jordan and 147 congressional Republicans who objected to certifying the presidential election results in January 6, 2021. So they made the bed, so they should lie in it. No, every Republican who casts their vote for him is signing with the insurrectionists against democracy, basically. And we can reward stupidity and insurrection behavior and traitorism to Jim Jordan. The Farrah comments represented... represent an early marker for Democratic leaders about how they would seek to tie the GOP majority, particularly swing district members they're targeting in 2024. You know, so that's a good move by Democrats and everything. Huh. Ted Lieu from California, he said, I think moderate Republicans should be freaked out with Jim Jordan as Speaker. He predicted that Jordan would push for a national abortion ban and for implementing impeaching President Joe Biden. On what grounds? Nobody knows up to now. They're talking about Joe Biden's son's laptop. If they had any evidence, it would have come out long time. There's doctoring evidence and proof that they tampered with evidence by changing certain things, you know, not putting things in context. So Congressman Lieu from California also warned that Jordan, if he becomes Speaker, would fight to avoid certifying a potential Biden re-election in 2024. You know, I quote Congressman Lieu, Jim Jordan is one of the leaders of not respecting the will of the American people in elections, and he will absolutely do everything he can to not certify a Biden victory. That's what he did before. And, you know, Congressman Lieu is correct, you know.
For sure. I agree. I want to go back a moment to the Biden campaign, because I think it's important that people, maybe if they hear how much, you know, what people are donating and just their few dollars that they're donating and how it adds up. So the Biden campaign said that 1.4 million individual donors have now contributed to Biden's reelection, including 240,000 new donors who did not contribute in 2020. The $71 million that was raised by the Biden campaign nearly equals the total raised by Trump and his closest trailing Republican contenders. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former Governor South Carolina Nikki Haley, during the same span, DeSantis raked in $15 million and Haley $11 million in the third quarter. So, you know, for 240,000 more thousand new donors, that's a quarter million people. That says a lot to me. You know, it says over a quarter million people, but that says a lot. People are paying attention. You know, they're probably sending in $3, $5, $10, whatever they can afford. But that's something that's good, because from 2020 to now, people are paying attention that, like I said, because they didn't have those people before. So I think everyone is starting to get sick of the same story a different day from these Republicans every single day. They don't do the work. They left for the weekend after you know, Scalise stepped down because he didn't get it. Jordan didn't get it, but he didn't step down, of course, you know. So they said that he's been bullying other constituents. into voting for him. And he said, you know, a couple of them said they will not be bullied into voting for someone like Jim Jordan. And so they couldn't come to a compromise. So they all went home for the weekend. And mind you, we have Israel that's in deep danger. You know, we have big problems there with, you know, trying to help them. And here they are. Mm-hmm. They went home for the weekend. They should have worked 24/7 around the clock to find a new speaker, in my opinion. Yeah. They even had no...
And the thing about Republicans, the reason why it's their fault is because they refuse to work with Democrats on any issue. Everything Democrats come up and try to have a peaceful compromise, meet in the middle, Republicans keep saying no. And so, you know, from the start of this Congress, you know, they're unable to govern and unable to work with Democrats. And they all seem to be focused on fighting with each other, you know, in different factions and different wings and everything. So people can talk a big game, but, you know, when push comes to shove, it's your Republicans' fault because, you know, they just don't know how to govern. I keep saying that. I keep coming back to that. They don't know how to govern. And they're a hot mess, and they're messing up the process to where we need to help Ukraine, Israel. We need, you know, a Speaker of the House to set, you know, who the chairman of the committees are and get, you know, the job, you know, get moving in terms of getting the business of the government, you know, from day to day. You know, but, you know, they're not willing to compromise and have a bipartisan Speaker of the House. And that bipartisan Speaker of the House would be Akeem Jeffries, being the House Minority Leader. And they hate Democrats and refuse to work with Democrats so much, they wouldn't elect a Democrat or help elect a Democrat to the post. And that's sad, really. Very sad.
Yeah, it is. You know, can you imagine having Jim Jordan, that loudmouth bully, as Speaker of the House? Can you imagine that? He's rude.
On top of which?
He's condescending. He is. He's rude. He's condescending. He's actually stupid. He doesn't really know the rules.
Yeah, thank you.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and that, you know, and his it isn't that, you know, your voice is loud, okay, but his voice is not only loud, he's rude and condescending when he talks. Can you imagine what will happen, you know, and with Republicans? They don't want to listen to that, especially the ones that have half a brain in there, you know, and the Democrats won't put up with it, and nothing will get done.
No, no. And Jim Jordan allies threatening retribution against GOPers, refusing to elect Jim Jordan as Speaker.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to arm twist and make threats to ensure his election. And it's not going to happen because, according to the reports from the New York Times, Republican House members who are balking at falling in line are being threatened with retribution and are already on the receiving end of harassment being fostered by supporters of Jim Jordan. So with one ally admitting that Jordan camp was stunned that he didn't get close to the 217 votes needed to become Speaker, the Times is reporting that fans of the blustery Ohio Republican are using the weekend to sick their own followers and barking House members. So again, the only thing that Republicans know how to do is bully and harass and arm twist and threaten people to get in line. You know, and calling it an extraordinary instance of Republican and Republican fighting. Karoon Demirjian, he's a reporter for the Times. He said that several of Mr. Jordan's supporters have posted the phone numbers of mainstream GOP lawmakers. They count on account as holdouts, encouraging followers of to flood the Capitol switchboard because the man they back Jordan, or face the wrath of conservative voters that gear up for primary season. So once again, you know, these filthy bastards, the far-right goons under Donald Trump, you know, want Jim Jordan there at no, you know, at no, you know, spending no expense on everything, sparing no expense.
Yeah.
And so if the people, other Congress people who may be moderate, are real conservative and not far lunatic right, don't fall into line, then people who agree with Jim Jordan and the lunatic right will primarily challenge them. And the voters out there who are like, you know, basic bitches who have no common sense or no decency and who are Trumpers and MAGA supporters. If they vote for these people in the primaries and get rid of the moderate Republicans who may be there, or the real conservatives, you know, and that's frightening because imagine like 100 more Jim Jordans in there and Marjorie Taylor Greens and, you know, the list goes on. So according to Tim Brusher, Republican from Tennessee, he's a Jordan supporter. And I quote, everybody going to go home, listen to their constituents and make a decision. Honestly, the grassroots, there's nobody stronger, end quote. Stronger? What's strong about Jim Jordan? You know, he's stupid. He's been in there a long time and hasn't passed our co-sponsors one piece of legislation. So what is he used for? Nothing. You know?
Yeah, he's not. In all the years that he's been there, absolutely. He has not passed one piece of legislation. Think about that, Republicans out there. Think about that. All the years he's been in there. Really? What kind of work does he do? Nothing. He's just got a big mouth. He puts people down. He berates them, bullies them. And then he wants to be Speaker of the House? That's a joke. That's
big
a joke.
Joke.
So, you know, and I believe, and David, I just sent you an article, because I think it's important that we all know that there are House committee records that show Trump, Jim Jordan, spoke the morning of January the 6th. Now, I've seen interviews with Jim Jordan being asked how many times he's spoken to Trump. And he did say at one point, oh, we used to talk every single day, almost every single morning we talked. Well, did you talk to him the day before January 6th? Did you talk to him on January 6th? I don't remember. I just don't remember. So right there, you could tell he was lying right then and there. So the House Committee, Select Committee, investigating the January 6th attack on U.S. Capitol has obtained White House records showing then-President Donald Trump spoke with Rep. Jim Jordan of Ohio that morning, sources confirmed to ABC News. Now, this was back in February of 22. That's how far back I'm going. The source called log records, part of the documents in the National Archives, handed over to the committee, found that Trump called Jordan from the White House residence, and they spoke for 10 minutes. And while Jordan has said he did not speak to Trump that day, it was not previously known they spoke that morning before the attack and counting of electoral votes. So he's a liar on top of everything else. So we have a liar. We have someone that's a coward and says he never received the sexual abuse reports from the wrestlers when he was back at Ohio State as an assistant coach, said he never heard of that before. So he and abuses, you know, his constituents and talks down to them. And this is a man that has not passed one bill in all the years he's been there, but yet he wants to be Speaker of the House. So think about that. Think about that, everybody.
I want the people to know something about McCarthy. McCarthy, as a young boy, was brought up in a progressive Democratic Union household. McCarthy needed, his family had a meager existence. They worked hard. They were good people. They worked hard. And he needed therapy for a speech defect. And he got this therapy because of programs out there. So he is no better than Mitch McConnell, who received help for his polio because his family was not exactly higher middle class. And yet these two scoundrels have got the nerve to always vote no to help people. Stop America.
Well, they forget their roots.
They sure do. another one that has forgotten her roots. Nikki Haley. Is she embarrassed of her heritage? She changed her first name and her last name. Is she embarrassed that she is Indian?
You wouldn't.
Listen, her parents were from India. She was born here in America, but for whatever reason, she changed her name to Nikki Haley.
For whatever reason. That she's being a typical hypocrite. I am getting tired of the Republicans calling anybody that's a progressive a hypocrite when they are the ones that have started the game and have been playing the game. Evidently, Nikki Haley is embarrassed to her heritage. Call it like it is.
Yeah, speaking of Nikki Haley, she raised $11 million in the third quarter, and the idiot from Florida, the governor, DeSantis raised $15 million. So they're far way below Joe Biden, $91 million. You know, even if they're becoming nominee tomorrow, they cannot beat Joe Biden because Joe Biden will outclass them, outspend them. This is so sweet. You know, I wish the election was tomorrow. You know, Joe Biden just blow them out of the water, much less debating, you know. Is DeSantis still debating the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, on Fox News, or has that been postponed or canceled?
I haven't heard it's been canceled. I thought it was I thought it was going to be.
Because I look forward to that debate, because Ron DeSantis is a fool. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know policy.
Yeah.
He is, you know, spoon-fed by corporations, you know, who he doesn't give a damn about a regular man. You know, look what he's doing in Florida. Totally turn it into a banana republic. And for the past 30-plus years, Republicans have the governor's mansion, and they just, you know, move from law, stooping lower, and not getting any better. You know, so we need a Democrat, a strong Democrat. Nikki Freed, for example. She is the current chairman of Florida Democratic Party. If she ran for governor, she would win. You know, Charlie Crist should retire now, you know, go about his way. He served Florida well. You know, he was a moderate Republican, or he called himself a Reagan Republican. So when he comes over to the Democratic side, he's just, you know, being an opportunist. I'm sorry. That's how I see it. And Democrats, for the past two election cycles in Florida, in the gubernatorial race, they chose Charlie Crist. You know, the third time that they chose Andrew Gilliam, who, you know, lost by less than 2 percentage points of the votes. So we need somebody strong like Nikki Freed. She was Attorney General for Florida. She's the current chairman of the Florida Democratic Party. It's time to get a strong Democrat like her. It's ridiculous. Democrats should stop the nonsense and tomfoolery, electing or nominating people who don't have a chance of winning, you know. So speaking of Ron DeSantis, Alternate Net said that 23,000 Floridians died of COVID because of lies that he spread about COVID. And you know, despite Florida governor and 2024 presidential candidate Ron DeSantis' claim that he's a champion for medical freedom by defying federal health guidance to advise Floridians against taking new COVID-19 booster shots. Settlement, a $152,000 settlement over withheld COVID-19 data that critics say cost thousands of lives. You know, hopefully this will tank Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign. So The Guardian has reported that critics dubs DeSantis as a Pied Piper of COVID, leading everybody off of a cliff. Well, as he forged ahead of an executive order banning mass mandates in schools, having already signed legislation awarding himself veto power over coronavirus mandates set by municipalities. So he was acting like a dictator, and a wannabe dictator, should I say. And other news outlets noted that DeSantis dismissed reports on the pandemic as media hysteria. So I guess all those people dying from COVID, you know, is just media hysteria. It's something made up, you know. or it was after Legat. What was the scientist thinking? Well, he doesn't think. He's a fool. He's a moron. So the Delta variant of the virus. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the only thing he was thinking is he did not want to shut Florida down, because if he shut Florida down, it was all about money. And he didn't care about the lives. And, you know, there's a lot of retired people that live in Florida. And, you know, they were very susceptible to get, you know, to get COVID. And he didn't care. He, you know, he berated that young, when he was speaking that one time, someone had a mask on. It was a young boy. He had a mask on. And he ordered him to take the mask off. I mean, who does this man think he is? You know, who does he think he is? He will never be president of this. He should be the president. He shouldn't be president of a garbage truck, okay? I'm sorry. Do you remember, I don't know if everyone remembers this as well. I do remember. There was a woman that, well, in the health department, and she was trying to do her job. And by reporting, you know, we were doing, like, here in our health departments, they were, when you call in and say you have COVID, they were keeping a tally in every single county, city, et cetera. Well, this woman was trying to do her job that way. She was trying to get the word out to the press that, you know, how it was spreading. She was fired from her job. She was fired for that. I remember
And also arrested. And also
yes,
arrested.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. A man like that that has no control, doesn't care about anybody else, doesn't care who dies, doesn't care who lives, has watched people get tortured, you know, watched them get tortured with no feelings, and wants to be president of the United States. And then when you look at President Biden these last 2 days and all the interviews that this man has had, you can tell that when he's talking, and he talks about, you know, the people that are been kidnapped, and, you know, all the death and all the everything that's happened just in the past week, you can see in his face that he truly cares. He takes it to his heart, and he is trying to do the best he can. This 80-year-old man that we have has more heart than many people in this world, in this country. I'm sorry. You can see it in his face. You can hear it in his voice. He cares. He's a man with compassion.
And you know,
and
because of the shit decision that caused so many lives, you know, Delta virus, you know, Delta surge in Florida, school leaders were struggling to make informed decisions about how to mitigate the spread of COVID. So whether it was making or masking or social distancing policies or other strategies, they needed data, they needed information, but the state made it unavailable and then said, they lied and said it didn't exist. So how can you have a liar like Ron DeSantis, who failed as governor in Florida, the president of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You can't. I mean, we would be going back 100 years. Come on. No, never, never. Evil, evil. We can't have evil leading our country. We've already had enough of Trump. It's enough to make someone jump off a cliff. So,
and I lived in Florida
enough.
For many years, and Floridians have a constitutional right to public records and receive them in a timely manner. Ron DeSantis hid it from them and the legislature, which is Republican, and say it didn't exist. You know, and, you know, he was repeatedly talking about giving people the choice of mass over vaccination. But without critical public health data, how were they able to make an informed choice? You know, that's a thing.
So I guess it goes back to thinking from my perspective. You are a governor. You are supposed to take care of your state. That means the health of the people that live in your state, the good of the people that live in the state, for the people that live in the state. But yet he did not do that. He chose to, you know, hide public records and, you know, everything that that man did. And we have all these, and who knows how many people really died from COVID in that state because they didn't know any better because of the information that they had at their hands, in their hand, be able to get that information because it was hidden from them. Shouldn't he be charged with something? Shouldn't he be?
Or impeached, but, you know, they can't impeach the governor of Florida because the state legislature is dominated by Republicans. So, anyway, moving to our next failure, from one failure to the next, Tommy Tumbleville. Yeah, I call him Tumbleville because, remember, he was coming on a plane stairways, and then Karma hit him, and he slid on his ass all the way down. It was so hilarious. Best thing to watch, you know? Never laughed so hard in life. So, Tommy Tumbleville, Republican from Alabama, recently purchased up to $250,000 worth of stock in a telecommunications technology company called Qualcomm Incorporated, which is a federal defense contractor, while serving on the U.S. Senate Committee on Armed Services and actively blocking hundreds of military nominations and promotions. So, you know, this came out in the new Congressional Financial Disclosure, and it indicated that, you know, he has shares in his company. So Qualcomm and its subsidiaries have been the recipient of several dozen defense and homeland security contracts during the past two decades, according to the federal contracting records reviewed by Raw Story. So, again, a conflict of interest where, you know, congresspeople and senators have shares in companies that have legislate, they have to legislate laws to protect the consumer and to protect the environment. Yeah, we call it again. Say that again.
I'm trying to.
Remember when, for example, in Ohio, when the Obama put in all those implemented all those laws and Trump removed it. There was a certain word for it. But anyway,
what
moving along.
You mean legislation?
What?
Legislation? Are you talking?
No.
I'm not following. I guess I missed my brain is. I'm just shocked. I shouldn't be shocked, but I'm very angry about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he purchased all this stock, and he's a senator from Alabama, Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he recently purchased. Isn't that illegal? I mean, isn't that
illegal? Conflict of interest. Conflict of interest.
Well, yeah. So, and he's still blocking the hundreds of military nominations and promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Is this why he's blocking them, because of that? I don't understand I still don't understand what this man is up to. He's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Another one.
We have two wars going on.
Yep.
Two major wars.
Yes.
We have got China not acting too cool. China would like to take over Japan. And Tommy Tumbleville cannot put the people in place that are supposed to take care of the military, our young men and women who fight for us, and they claim they love this country?
No, they don't. They only are interested in getting rich, obviously.
Every sergeant, every captain, every lieutenant, every seaman, I don't know all the ranks of all the people, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, none of the people that lead our forces have been put in place. The man is sick. He's trying to kill us.
Yeah, regulations. He's on the committee that regulates the Defense Department industry. And that's a big conflict of interest with him having shares in that company and the subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if he put regulations in, then the stock will go down. And, of course, Republicans, all they care about is money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, maybe that's why he's blocking these nominations, not only out of spite, but he doesn't want, you know, a Democratic president to look good. Tommy Tuberville, he was a sucky coach as a football coach, and he's worse a sucky coach, a sucky senator. He doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
I don't know why Mitch McConnell will put him in line.
How did he get elected?
Well, it's Alabama. Alabama is Republican, hence he got elected. And he was a popular football coach. And you know how, you know, red states worship, you know, TV personalities and sports personalities and movie stars. Mm-hmm. You know, Herschel Walker, for example, almost got in as U.S. Senator from Georgia. So that's how they really get in. You know, popular, yes, on TV, yes, they're from a sports personality. Don't know, have one experience in policy. Can't even talk 5 minutes about any policy. But because of your name and your name recognition, they nominate people for big posts like this. Tommy Tuberville, like Herschel Walker, is no different. They're both stupid. And Herschel, not Herschel, he wasn't elected, thank goodness. But this guy, Tommy Tuberville, is a moron. He's an absolute idiot, you know? And it's just pity that when he tumbled down those airplane steps, he didn't break his neck and die. Only a pity.
You know, the thing about him falling, why it was all over the internet. I mean, I must have seen it 50 times in one day. It just kept coming up. But it's because he made fun of Joe Biden when Joe Biden tripped down the steps. I don't know if you remember that, but he made fun of Joe Biden.
Yes.
So that was his karma. Mm-hmm. That was his karma. It really was. So, and then in Homeland Security contracts that this Qualcomm Intelligence Solutions, they're worth $11.7 million with the possibility of growing to $30.4 million related to a government program exploring innovative, energy efficient, and reliable computer architectures that can address the intelligence community's large-scale data analytic applications. So in other words, he bought stock in this company knowing that this Qualcomm and its subsidiaries, he can make some big bucks. I guess that's what it is. $250,000 is a big chunk of change to put into a stock.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
I don't know if you remember with who went to prison. I'm thinking of her name right now. The woman, she cooked, baked, Martha Stewart.
Oh yes, Martha Stewart.
Yes, do you remember right away? I mean, that was fast for her. She went to prison. This is where he belongs as well.
She went to prison for what they claim for inside trading.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't you think that looks like inside trading to you? It does to me.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a conflict of interest.
Same difference.
He's working for a profit and working against the better interests and the security of the United States, because he rather make money than protecting the people who he claims to serve.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's past the appearance of improprieties. It's past that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have the appearance of improprieties. It's downright wrong.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it boggles my mind. Though we need these military leaders in place. They need to be there. Now the Republicans keep saying that we've got to be great. Well, how in the hell are we going to be great if our leaders don't have their jobs?
They're patriots too. Don't forget that.
Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you remember? They're patriots. They're all patriots. You know, they're all of them. They're patriots, right?
And you know, and Tommy Tuberville is the one who claimed that, you know, the white nationalists, you know, he was defending white nationalists in the armed services. How can you defend white nationalists who, you know, live on bigotry and hate and stoke the fears of people who are like-minded in thinking, which are mostly MAGA supporters, the base of the Republican Party? I mean, he doesn't belong in the United States Senate if he has thinking like that. That thinking is so 1920s, 1930s. Jim Crow era thinking, you know? And like I said, I'm not surprised because he's from Alabama, not blasting the whole of Alabama. I'm sure a lot of good people live in Alabama. But this son of a bitch, Tommy Tuberville, you know, he doesn't belong. He is he is just despicable.
Amen. And I find it so hard to believe this. This man, no experience at all, except to be a coach, is in a position that he could hold, you know, hold all this back. One man. I mean, how can that be? I just don't understand that. Isn't there anyone that could tell him you can't? Isn't there anyone that
he's
can
on the committee.
Go for that?
It just take one of them on a committee to hold up such a nomination, and he's the bastard who's doing it.
My God. It just sickens me. It really does.
Well, they'll do anything to make the Democrats look bad, because then they go out there and they say that it's Biden's fault.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, I understand, and I agree that that is their main goal, is to make our president look bad, you know.
To make all Democrats look bad.
Any of our, you know, Democratic presidents that we've had, look at what they try, you know, with Obama. I mean, it goes on and on. But, you know, you have to come to where you have to have some common sense. Common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Do some research.
But the thing is, why aren't Republicans calling out Tuberville on his bullshit? Why?
I don't know.
If they're decent people in the U.S. Senate.
Because they haven't thought of a way to blame Biden for it yet.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't
or
think
Obama
that
or Hillary
could do something he would, you know. He would do something about it if he could, but he can't, you know. He can't. What we have to do is
we have to keep repeating it. We have to keep reminding people. And I know that there are some Republicans that listen to this. We have to keep reminding people what the Republican Party is doing. This is not the Eisenhower Republicans that are in office.
No.
This is far from it. This is the Harding's, Coolidge, and Hoover regime. This is worse than them.
No, it's worse than that. This is more like the Hitler regime, in my eyes, in my opinion.
We just have to keep reminding the Republicans. And I know there are some that are listening to this program. They're not your friends.
And, you know, We know that there are Democrats also that are not on the straight and the narrow. We know that. I mean, it happens. Human beings do stupid things. We all know that. But the thing is that these Republicans are in lockstep with me the most. They will not get out of line. Why won't they get out of line? What is it? I mean, come on, Trump, he thinks Obama's in power. Did you guys hear him the other day? That speech that he was making, his wedding, he looked terrible. He looked like he was going to stroke out any minute. I was thinking, oh, he's going to stroke out, you know, giving a speech. And he was talking about Obama being president. I mean,
and then Jeb Bush was responsible. It was Jeb Bush responsible for sending our troops to Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, he's saying stuff like that.
These Republicans are in lockstep with a man that's losing his mind. He truly is. You know, he made look like when you see him, you know, when he's shaking hands and, you know, whatever he does and wears his Make America Great hat on. But this man has got 91 indictments against him, 4 trials coming up. You know, we all know that these trials are coming up because they know what he did. He knows what he did. And if you think that that's playing on his mind, why do you think he's talking the way he talks? Because he's losing it. Who can live under that pressure knowing you can go to prison for 700 years? You know? Really?
Yeah, the bottom line is Tuberville is obviously not a friend of the military or America's readiness. And he brought shame to himself, the GOP. Well, the GOP is shame for already following Trump and the state of Alabama. And hopefully Alabama will vote him out. But that only happened because Alabama is so gerrymandered. And most of the people there, especially in rural areas of Alabama, are so stupid and uneducated that they would, you know, give an arm and a leg to vote for a Republican, like such as Tommy Tuberville, who previously had no political experience. His experience was being a shitty football coach. And, you know, the Republican Senate members in the Republican Party, they said nothing. They should be held accountable as well. 10 seats for the Republican Senate won the re-election in 2024. And I hope people remember this, what Tommy Tuberville did, and vote against these people running for re-election on the Republican side. Because this is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. First time in United States history this is happening. You know? Mm-hmm. And how is this, what is Tuberville doing, not be considered treason? Choosing to have military readiness and therefore national security is certainly giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Impeach him, or at minimum, refusing to do his job. You know, how dare he? Who the hell do you think he is? He's a traitor.
Yeah.
He should be prosecuted for treason. You know? How is it possible for one hillbilly senator, an idiot, to unilaterally hold up promotions in the entire U.S. military? That's one moron on the Republican side, him.
Well, I'm trying to say, how is this possible? How is this possible? It's just, when you think about it for a minute, it's just, I just shake my head because I don't have words anymore to express how all this makes me feel. It makes me feel like we are being governed by people that would rather see us dead and die on the streets because they don't care about anybody. They just don't. They're only there to get what they for themselves. That's it. That's the only thing they're there is to become rich and to be able to buy stock. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see anything
else. One person wrote, I'm a Marine veteran. My big brother is a Marine veteran. My father is an Army veteran who was in Vietnam when I was born. My great uncle served in World War II, and my great grandfather served in France in World War I. Yet little Tommy Tuberville, who never served, say he's more military than me. Someone, please make it make sense. Santa Fe, David J. 222. And he's right.
He's right. I mean, how do you think these people feel that served, their families died, they had parents that died, fathers, grandfathers, brothers, you know, maybe some sisters that died, blood, you know, died for this country? And then you have a man like this that disgraces them? I mean, it's wrong. It is wrong. They are not patriots. They hate this country. They belong in a communist country.
You'd understand if it was a constitutional thing. But, you know, it has nothing to do with the Constitution. He's just being a bitch, basically.
No.
You know, he's just being a spiteful bitch.
No.
Hopefully, when it comes to re-election time for him, the good people of Alabama, you know, get him out. Because this man, oh, my God. Yeah, it just proves that he's powerful. Like, you know, he has the power, you know. So when you're drunk and tripping on power like that, you know, you don't give a damn about anybody. Whether the people who serve, people currently serving,
you know, Thomas Tuberville, why don't he just eat that chicken and then it's that short kind of born and die? That's how I
mm-hmm.
feel right now. You know, that's
yeah.
treason what he's doing. It's sickening, disgusting, deplorable. Yeah. He's a terrible coach and a terrible senator. It's a shame so many of the people in Alabama have sort of a self-respect that they believe Tuberville is worthy to be their senator. He lived in Florida for many years, not in
mm-hmm.
Alabama, but yet he was working in for Alabama senator. How on
yep.
earth can abortion be linked to military nominations? That's the whole load
mm-hmm.
to know, because he wants abortion in this particular bill to get these nominees through. He wants to put
mm-hmm.
service people can't have abortions. And this is a horrible power play. Perhaps an administration should link state subsidies in the same goddamn way. Federal payments
mm-hmm.
to Alabama could be withheld until public renounces is an evil tactic. That's a possibility, but, you know, of course, Democrats, they play nice. Like, oh, no, you know, it's superior level. Well, hell yeah, superior goddamn level, because this is about military. This is about protecting the United States.
Mm-hmm. It is. What is it? What else can it? Does he not live in this country? Does he not see
mm-hmm,
what's
mm-hmm.
going on? Does he not understand? This is not a football game. This is life and
yeah.
death.
Mhm. Exactly. Exactly. So on to the next thing. The next loser. When enough of Tommy Tuberville. He's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know which one is more stupid. Ron DeSantis or Tommy Tuberville. Asked by CBS News, Face the Nation, a congressman from Ohio, Mike Turner, said Sunday, if House Republicans cannot elect a speaker soon, then, quote, a deal will have to be done with Democrats in order to get the chamber running again, as it nears 2 weeks since Congressman Kevin McCarthy historic ousting. You know, so this fool from Ohio, Mike Turner, he's speaking
mm-hmm.
sense. Ugh, God, I almost got there. I almost shook on, you know, I almost vomit saying that.
Oh.
A Republican making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I think I just threw up in my mouth. So, according to him, I think Jim Jordan would be an excellent speaker. I think he'd be able to get to 217. If not, we have other leaders in the House. And certainly if there is a need, if the radical, you know, almost just a handful of people on the Republican side make it unable to be able to return to general work in the House, then I think, obviously, there will be a deal that will have to be done, Turner said. Okay.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He say that if cannot elect a speaker, then they're going to have to, you know, work with Democrats. Okay, he gets
mm-hmm.
1 point for that. So the next thing that he says is that he would prefer a Republican. Okay, I understand that. But the solution of electing a speaker, so he supports Jim Jordan. Take away that point from him. So in other words, he's saying, well, if they can't elect Jim Jordan, then we have to. So it's kind of like telling his constituents, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we can't get Jim Jordan, then we might have, you know, we might have to work with the Democrats. And then
mm-hmm.
we might end up, you know, with Hakeem Jeffries. He didn't say his name,
mm-hmm.
but he would be awesome. And he goes on to say, I think Jim Jordan will be an excellent speaker. I think he'll be able to get to 217. If not, we have other leaders, like you said, in the House. And, yeah. Okay, so what other leaders are there? Really?
Okay,
can
so,
you think of
all right, check this out. The House, the race for House Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, 212 votes. All Democrats would vote for him. Steve
mm-hmm.
Scalise. He got 113 votes in a Republican conference when they're discussing that they want him
mm-hmm.
to be Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan got 99 votes.
Right.
Both Democrats and Republicans hate his ass. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's much easier that five Republicans vote with Hakeem Jeffries to give him that majority to be new Speaker of the House. and we can get mm-hmm. business or government moving, you know, that's just basic math, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, more than 100 Democrats have, you know, fit to, what am I saying? God, I'm so fucking upset. If they had a secret vote, he could get in. You know, 100
mm-hmm.
Democrats to flip for Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not going to happen.
You're right about
you get what I'm saying?
Vote.
Hakeem Jeffries
yeah.
have 212, so all he needs is 5 Republicans. Who are
That's
these
right.
5 Republicans, hopefully, that will
oh.
come to the common sense and say, here, what, the country need to move forward. Let's just, you know, but Republicans will have a secret vote.
Of course not. And it's not because they don't want to have a secret vote, because I think
mm-hmm.
they know that if they have a secret
mm-hmm.
vote, have a
mm-hmm.
Hakeem Jeffries as the new Speaker of the House. No doubt in
exactly.
my mind.
Exactly.
That's
and
reason.
God forbid the final, who are the 5 Republicans who voted for Hakeem Jeffries, you know, there are ways of finding out, even though with a secret ballot. You know, they harassed
mm-hmm.
the 5 members, you know, out of the House. You might not get primary challenged, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like the Republican Party is a fringe party, though. Know? The Nazis
mm-hmm.
and El Duce would be proud of them, the way
mm-hmm.
how they've gone far right. Genghis Khan couldn't hold a candle to these Republicans.
I know.
It's so you know, repulsive what they've become. You know, they
it
should
is.
Be better. They need to be better,
yeah.
for real.
See
mm-hmm.
President Biden working every day, an 80-year-old man, you know, he's in good physical shape. You know, he did trip the other day, but you know what? I trip a lot. People trip
mm-hmm.
every day. Why do you have to make a deal out of that? You know, if you're not paying attention or you're thinking about something else, you can trip. I mean, that's a given. But this man works day in and day out for the American
mm-hmm.
people. He's done
mm-hmm.
so much to help the American people, at least tried to help, put programs
mm-hmm.
in and legislation to make lives better for the American people. And he's constantly being interrupted by the Republicans because they don't want to help the American people. They want to help themselves. And between the two right now. Am I saying that it's always been like that? No, not always been like that. It's like that now. So we have to understand that whoever is in there right now, the Republicans and the MAGAs that are in there right now, have no interest in helping the American people with their better wages, health care, jobs, you know, unions, none of that stuff. They don't, and the list goes on, as we know. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
let's just use some logic and understand that at this point where we are right now, you need to vote blue. And I'm not saying it because I'm a Democrat all my life. Yes, I have been. I'm saying it because I can see the difference. It's very, very clear right now who cares about the American
mm-hmm.
people, who could give a shit about the American people.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Okay, so it's been reported by MSNBC, NBC News, that Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, is laying the groundwork to
mm-hmm.
seek the Speaker's gavel if Jim Jordan, the party's current nominee, is unable to get the votes needed on the House floor. So Mike Johnson, a member of the GOP leadership team, plans to jump into the race if Jordan from Ohio can't secure the 217 votes needed on the House floor, according to the source familiar with the lawmaker's plan. Quote, if Jordan
mm-hmm.
cannot get 217 votes, Johnson intends to step up. Many members are asking him to do so. Politico first reported that Johnson will most likely run if Jordan drops out. So I know nothing about this guy, Mike Johnson from Louisiana, the congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Is he one of them psychos, or is he one of those moderates, or is he a Trumper? Who knows?
Well, let's see.
You know, maybe third time's a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
an unknown come up, you know, but we don't know anything about this Mike Johnson person.
I've never heard of him, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are 435 members. We can't expect to know all of them, you know?
No.
So he is in District 4 from Louisiana House. He first ran in 2016 and got elected. So he's a freshman congressperson. Next election is November 5th, 2024. He's a member of the House representing Louisiana 4th Congressional District. Johnson is running for re-election, blah, 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 blah. In 2019, Johnson became chair of the Republican Study Committee. At the start of the 116th Congress, the Republican Study Committee was the largest Republican caucus in Congress. Prior to joining Congress, Johnson was a member of the Louisiana House of Representatives, representing District 8, blah, blah, blah. 2017 to present, he's a congressman. I'm looking through this goddamn thing, and I can't find one thing about him. Okay, U.S. House. He's on a committee in the Judiciary Committee. He's in the House Committee on Armed Services, so that's important committees right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Natural Resources Committee,
mm-hmm.
which is a joke because I don't believe in global warming and climate change, mm-hmm. so a Republican being on that committee is a joke, laughable. Key votes in 117th Congress. When President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris, who acted as tiebreaker in the chamber, I don't know nothing about this block. I'm sorry. I'm reading this thing, and I can't find anything substantial, whether to say he's a MAGA Republican or he's like an establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say that... what I found is that I sent it to you, David. He is a dedicated husband, a father of four, a constitutional lawyer who's devoted his life and career to fighting for the fundamental freedoms and traditional values that have always been a priority to the people of Louisiana. Prior to his election to Congress for 20 years, Mike successfully litigated high-profile constitutional law cases in district and appellate courts nationwide. He is widely recognized as a leading defender of the right to life, of religious and religious liberty, free speech, the Second Amendment, and free market principles. Is that enough?
Yeah, so he's a far-right freak then.
Did you expect
he's a far-right freak.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So there you go. Okay? Yes. You know. I mean that was enough for me. So
yeah.
Is he better
than
Jordan? I don't know. I have no clue. I know that I disliked Jim Jordan from the bottom of my heart, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is gonna happen either because no one knows who he is really. But maybe
mm-hmm.
his condition.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
American
speaking
people.
Of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, he won the governor's race. So Attorney General Jeff Landry, a Republican backed by former President Trump, a Trumper, has won Louisiana governor's race, holding off a crowded field of candidates. The win is a majority victory for the GOP as they reclaim the governor's mansion for the first time in 8 years. Landry will praise current governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, who was unable to seek re-election due to consecutive term limits. Edwards is on a Democratic governor in the Deep South. So today's elections say that our state is unified or united, Landry said during the victory speech Saturday night. It's a wake-up call, and it's a message that everyone should hear loud and clear, that we, the people in this state, are going to expect more out of our government from here on out, end quote. Yeah, so, you know, we'll move from a blue dog Democrat, John Bel Edwards, who did well in his two terms, to a Trumper in Louisiana. So by garnering more than half of the votes, Landry avoided an expected runoff again under state's jungle primary system. So, you know, because usually when nobody, the top two people finish, and if none of them get over 51%, then they'll be run off between the two candidates. Well, I guess he got a majority of votes. So the governor-elect celebrated with supporters during a watch party in Broussard, Louisiana, described the election as historic. So this guy, Landrieu, 52 years old, has raised the profile of Attorney General since seeking office in, or taking office in 2016. He has used his office to champion conservative policy positions. More recently, Landrieu has been in the spotlight over his involvement and strong support of Louisiana laws that have drawn much debate, including banning gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth, the state's near-total abortion ban that doesn't have exceptions for cases of rape and incest, and a law restricting youth access to sexually explicit materials in library, which opponents fear will target LGBTQ books. So, yeah, he's a Trumper, and he's a right-wing nut job. Good job, Louisiana.
Yeah, good job. Oh. He has, also, Landrieu has repeatedly clashed with Edwards over matters in the state, including LGBTQ rights, state finances, and the death penalty. However, the Republicans have also repeatedly put Louisiana in the national fight, including over President Joe Biden's policy that limit oil and gas production and COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Landrieu spent 2 years in the on Capitol Hill, beginning in 2011, where he represented Louisiana's 3rd U.S. Congressional District. Prior to his political career, he served 11 years in the Louisiana Army National Guard and was a local police officer, sheriff's deputy, and an attorney. So it just sounds like he's just a right-wing...
lunatic.
Yeah.
Right-wing loon, basically, a Trumper.
How can, I mean, oh, Louisiana, what's wrong with you?
Well, I guess Louisiana has been right-wing since, you know, Bill Clinton. And no Democrat has won there since, I don't know, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, but they so had a
top,
Democrat.
One of the top priorities, Landrieu, as governor, would be to addressing crime in urban areas. The Republican has pushed a tough on crime rhetoric, calling for more transparency in the justice system, and continue to support capital punishment. So he's a right to life, well, but yet he is for capital punishment. The irony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't see it. But you're going to say something, Lori.
No, I'm just saying they had a governor for 8 years that was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just sad. Makes me sad that look what they got in his replacement. Somebody that's not going to make these people happy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, knowing this guy, Landrieu, he has a history of being a bully, and they're making accusations of backroom deals to gain support for the governor. And he also faced scrutiny for skipping all but one of the major televised debates. So, like Donald Trump, his sugar daddy, he skips debates because he thinks he's more important than the people who he hopes to represent. So among other gubernatorial candidates on the ballot were GOP State Senator Sean Hewitt, Hunter Lundy, a Lake Charles-based attorney running for as an independent, Republican State Treasurer John Schroeder, Stephen Wagupak, Republican former head of the powerful business group and former senior aide to then-governor Bobby Jindal, and Sean Wilson, the former head of Louisiana Transport and Development Department. And this guy was a sore Democrat in the race. So Wilson, who was the runner-up, said during his concession speech that he had called Landrieu to congratulate him on his victory. The Democrats said during their phone call, he asked the governor-elect to keep Medicare expansion, increase teacher pay, and educate our children the way they need to be educated. Well, good luck with that. The citizens of Louisiana spoke and didn't speak and made a decision, Wilson said. So, you know, Lieutenant Governor Billy Neugesser won re-election Saturday night, but other races won't be decided until November. So, yeah, Louisiana, we're paddled up shit street now because I have a Republican governor. who is like a staunch right-wing lunatic Trump supporter. So, moving from a Democrat, who's a blue dog, to a fascist right-winger. Yeah, I guess people never learn.
Good job, Louisiana. Good job.
Like voting against fascist right-wingers, it seems.
Pardon?
They look at the, it seems like they love right-wing fascists.
I guess.
Yeah, good for them.
Got a good snow job, I guess. I don't know what to say. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, but Louisiana have a history of being racist, you know? Cause I remember when Italians came there in the 1870s, 1880s, and not only black people were lynched, but also Italian immigrants, you know, because their skin were too dark and, you know, they had an accent. So there you go. You know, Louisiana have a history of racist, you know, racism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very surprising.
I understand that, and I know that, but I'm just saying, you know, they went from having a decent governor for 8 years, and now they're going to suffer. I'm sorry. That's how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They still learn the hard way. I don't know what else to say, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what else to say about that. So.
Okay, well,
Louisiana,
20 minutes left. And no, go ahead, Lori.
Mm-hmm. I just said, Louisiana, good luck. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. So we have 20 minutes left on the show. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Have all background sounds off because it's distracting to listeners and people who may be online like you and want to hear and participate. So call in. Or you can visit us at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 for the group. And we also have a website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Everybody's welcome there, whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, Communist, Socialist, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black or white, yellow, purple, blue, Jewish, Asian, whatever. Come on by. Let's talk. Okay, so 20 minutes left. Trump versus Swift. Musician poised to raise political voice in 2024. And that's why I love Taylor Swift. Oh, my Lord. In the space of 24 hours, she got so many people registered to vote and everything.
Like,
so,
like 35.
You know,
35,
yeah, over half a million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, over half a million people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow.
So good going, Taylor Swift. And a pair of Kansas City College professors who consider themselves Swifties said that Grammy Award winner began to find her voice in 2018 while calling upon passionate fans to register to vote. Quote, I've heard criticism about a political silence before 2018, particularly her political silence during the 2016 election. I hear those concerns. I understand them, said Brian Donovan, who is a University of Kansas sociology professor who has been working on a book about Swift. Quote, if we put in the put it in context, we should recognize that she came from a country music background that tilted more conservative. She saw that happening to the Dixie Chicks, now College Chicks, when they spoke out about politics. So in 2020, Taylor Swift endorsed Democrat Joe Biden for president. She stepped further into the spotlight in 2022 by criticizing U.S. Supreme Court's decision to undercut national recognition of abortion rights. She has identified as a feminist and advocate for LGBTQ rights and gun control. She's been critical of police brutality, racism, and white supremacy. She has donated to the NAACP on Black Lives Matter. Swift, who brought Swifties together and NFL fans by publicly dating Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, posted a request to her Instagram account in September that prompted more than 35,000 to register to vote at vote.org. Donovan and Hannah Wing, assistant professor of communications at Wichita State University in Kansas, said during the Dole Institute program sponsored by KU, that's Kansas University Student Groups, that Swift was a rare cultural phenomenon with special appeal among young women. It was reasonable to expect Taylor to rely on her broadening allure to speak now and in the 2024 election cycle about her perspective on political causes and candidates. Quote, well, see her for more comfortable as an advocate. she has a lot of potential in her role as an advocate. I look forward to seeing how she grows into in that future. So the former White House aide, Alyssa Farah Griffin, who co-hosts The View, said Swift was the only person capable of defeating former President Donald Trump in next year's presidential election. Donovan said Swift's influence has grown significantly across the United States. Within recent years, she has effectively maneuvered to avoid intense criticism, views on subjects that could spark boycotts. Quote, I think she's avoiding being caught up in the kind of cultural war discourse, Donovan said. Her star is burning so bright right now, she's almost untouchable. Donovan, who has taught a class at KU on Swift, said the performer delivered a speech at New York University that included useful advice for politicians. Quote, she said that we need to learn to live alongside cringe. What is cringe now might be cool later. What is cool now might be cringe later. I think that's a great lesson, not only for leaders and politicians, but for everyone else, end quote. Okay, so Taylor Swift have a big influence. 35,000 people, or 350,000 people is a lot of people to influence and register to vote in under 24 hours.
Yeah,
why not Taylor Swift run for some office in Tennessee? Marsha Blackburn is up for re-election, and we'll have the Tennessee 3, the lady from the Tennessee 3, running for the Democratic nomination to run against Marsha Blackburn, incumbent Republican senator. Do you think that, you know, anybody in the Democrats can beat Marsha Blackburn in 2024?
When I wish, I don't know. Good question. She's
Yeah, because if Taylor Swift sponsor the lady who was running for the Democratic nomination, she was one of the big three, then, you know, hopefully we can give her a run for her money and unseat her because, you know, Marsha Blackburn is one crazy bastard. She claims to be a Christian, but she have no grasp of the issues. She can't debate well. She's just a loon. A Trump loon. A Trump stooge. And her hair and makeup are as well done. That's the only thing she's going off, really. I think her best days are behind her, you know?
Yeah. You know, the thing about Taylor Swift, even before her concerts, she usually stands and talks. But she does not preach. All she does is talks about her experiences and how to be a better person. And she's very positive in her, you know, when she says things, she's positive. And she is so well-loved. Now, I was talking to someone today, and they said, with her movie and this tour that she did, she's probably going to make $4 billion. In 1 year. That is the influence that this young woman has. And she has positive influence. She's, you know, positive influence. And she has every city that she goes to, she donates to the homeless, shelters. She, you know, she has, if her singing career, if she gets, I don't know if she'll ever get tired of it or however, but she has bright future ahead of her because I think she is just one of those gifted people. She's got she's got a beautiful smile. It seems like she has a beautiful heart and think that I honestly believe that she's going to be a role model for this election coming up. This is just the beginning for her. It is. I watched her in an interview. This was a few years back. And she wanted to speak out against certain things. She's been stalked and things like that. We know that, you know. And her father and her manager, whoever was in there, were saying, no, you can't, you know, you cannot talk about those things. And she said, why? It's happened to me. Why can't I talk about those things? And show other, you know, other women out there that, you know, if I can, you know, take care of myself, and why can't other women do that? They need that experience. And she did go out and talk the way she wanted to, even though they didn't want her to. So she was strong-minded then, and I believe that she will be strong-minded now, and she will do a great job for President Biden.
Yeah, her manager is her father. Her manager is her father, so, that was who you're seeing with her.
Yes, and you can understand his, and her mother was there as well, and you can understand their concern. I mean, I can understand their concern, you know, but she felt that it was something deep inside of her that she had to talk about, you know, and she did, so...
I have the clip. I'm queuing up the clip and everything where she was making those points. Yeah, we'll have limited time and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me cue this up. Okay, we'll have 15 minutes left, but we'll get here Taylor Swift now.
Okay. Yeah, but this is on the home front. And also, back in the presidential election, I was in such a horrendous place that I wasn't going to pop my head out of the sand.
I'm going to. I mean, did Bob Hope do it? Does Nick Jackson do it?
Come on.
No, what I'm saying right now is...
These aren't your dad's celebrities, and these aren't your dad's Republicans.
Well, imagine if we came to you and said, hey, we've got this idea that we could halve the number of people that come to you next to it. The other thing just in particular,
so you think
Taylor Swift comes out against Trump.
I don't care if they write that. I'm sad that I didn't 2 years ago, but I can't change that. I'm saying right now that this is something that I know is right, and you guys, I need to be on the right side of history, and if he doesn't win, then at least I tried.
Here's the problem.
I just want to read you what I wrote, and I'm going to try to start. I just really want you to know that this is important to me.
Have you heard? I've read the entire thing, and the bottom line right now, I'm terrified. I'm the guy that went out and bought armored cars.
I worry for her safety as much as anybody does, maybe more. It really is a big deal. She votes against fair pay for women. She votes against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which is just basically protecting us from domestic abuse and stalking. She thinks that if you're a gay couple, or even if you look like a gay couple, you should be allowed to be kicked out of the restaurant. It's really basic human rights, and it's right and wrong at this point, and I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for. I need to do this. I need you to just, Dad, I need you to forgive me for doing it because I'm doing it.
So that was Taylor Swift speaking out against Marsha Blackburn, incumbent U.S. Senator, running for re-election in 2024. You know, the indecent, you know, scumbag that Michelle Blackburn is, you know, wanting to go against LGBTQ rights, basic human rights of being a couple. Mm-hmm. She's judgmental, saying, you know, it should be a man and a woman, not man and man, and woman and woman. Well, who's Marsha Blackburn? You know, she's not God. She's not the creator. So, you know, Taylor Swift is speaking out against this Jezebel, U.S. Senator. Mm-hmm. And that's what she is, a Jezebel. I will apologize for that statement, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, wrap-up time. This has been a weird show. You know, we spoke about different issues tonight, from a Republican candidate, Donald Trump, and Nikki Haley, and that idiot in Florida, Ron DeSantis. You know, they're all atrocious people who don't belong in power, in a seat of power, because when you see Republicans get power, they talk a good game, and a lie, and a steal, and a cheat through gerrymandering, and, you know, threatening people, even with violence, especially in red states. And that's how they gain power. You know, what's their policy? They have no policy. You know, everything the Democrats come to them to say, hey, let's compromise and get this through. No, no. Okay. He's saying no. What's your plan then? So, oh, yeah, just elect us and you'll say. No, it don't like that, Republicans. It never will, and it never has and never will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, God damn it. We've been waiting for Trump's taxes from 2015 and, you know, his replacement for Obamacare, for example. Up to now, Republicans don't have a replacement for Obamacare. Let's talk a good game and a lie and a cheat. And I have nothing planned. All the planning to do is cut more taxes for the wealthy and for corporations. Also, how that, you know, basically fuck up the economy, because those things, those tax cuts, don't go back into the businesses and corporations to trickle down, but to go to foreign accounts, like the Swiss bank account, the Cayman bank accounts, the secret bank account, the shell corporations, so they can avoid taxes. And the outsourced jobs to countries that are developing and third world, which have no labor unions to protect workers. So, you know, workers in these third world countries get 10, 20 cents, you know, per hour, which is like slavery, basically. So please, out there, if you're listening, do not vote Republican, because if you're not making $1 million or more, or if you're not a corporation, they don't care about you. And the trickle-down effect that you're feeling is them peeing on you, and it's trickling down, and they're laughing at you. So please stop voting Republican. It's against your best economic interests. How can be better than that? Republican Party is not the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln or Eisenhower. Those days are long gone. It's not the days of your grandfather's Republican Party. It's over since Reagan, right up till now. You know, your Trump is Reagan and steroids, basically. At least Reagan had a little sense. But Trump is a moron, a complete, absolute moron, who's controlled by Putin and the Kremlin. So please, please, you know, I beseech you, you know, consider voting for Democrats. Look at the platform. Look what Joe Biden has done in 2 years in his presidency. You know, the best thing he has done since FDR in any presidency, you know. So, you know, get it together, America. We need you. Stop being on the fence, or stop being, you know, like listening to Republican lies and gerrymandering, and vote Democratic. This is the only way we can save our democracy. And that's, you know, my final word tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, when I think about President Biden's campaign, just a few weeks ago or even a month ago, I didn't feel that it was very, it was not in action yet. It wasn't really a strong campaign. But I am seeing that that campaign is growing, and it's very strong. Just the ads that they are putting out are very sharp. They're detailed. They're short, but they're to the point. And I do believe people are going to see more and more. Things are going to become clearer to the American people. They're going to see that we have, yes, an 80-year-old president that is still where he could be retired and, you know, maybe playing golf or riding his bike with his wife, whatever he feels like doing. He feels a duty to this country. He loves this country. He loves his people, the people of this country. He has compassion. He has a heart of gold. And everyone since he's been in office has been trying to tear him down, and he has been so graceful and not retaliating at all. He just puts his head down and goes to work every single day. So look at the contrast and look at what we have on one hand if Trump is the nominee, and look at Joe Biden, and then really think about what you want America to look like in 2024. And if you want America to be more united and grounded and have more jobs and health care and, you know, college, maybe being, get everyone done, climate change, you know, policies for that. I could go on and on. But if you want to see change in this country, and if you want to feel better about living in a free democracy, you have to vote blue, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You have to vote blue,
yeah.
Or else you're voting against your own interests.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes to go. Elaine, do you have any final word? Can you make it brief? We have 4 minutes, less than 4 minutes.
I've got it brief. Republicans, I want you to listen very carefully. You hold your Social Security, you hold your pensions to your heart very dearly. That's your pocketbook. That's your livelihood. Do not listen to the crap that's being fed to you. It is the Republicans that want to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
They want your Social Security. They want your pension. Without that, you are nothing. You are controllable. So pay attention.
Exactly.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
If you don't want to pay attention, then you're the loser.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank Elaine for calling in tonight from Michigan, and Khalil from
right.
Commonwealth of Virginia, and Patricia and Paul in Florida. Sorry we didn't get your call. We did let you through, but I guess you hung up. You're shy to talk on air, and I hope
mm-hmm.
you listen tonight. And I'll thank everybody for sharing across social media. Some new blog articles coming out soon at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Within a month or less, we'll have merchandise sold on the website, and more articles and more guest writers and what have you. We're putting things
mm-hmm.
in high gear because 2024 is just a blink of an eye away. I want people
mm-hmm.
to be knowledgeable of the topics that affect them, our everyday lives, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to, you know, be in the know and not fall for Republican nonsense, because Republicans are liars, they're cheats, and they're gerrymanders. We cannot give them any more chance to take away the democracy. So with that, we thank you for everybody for joining. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Sunday, October 15th, 2027. The topic was Open Mic Night, Season 5, Episode 43. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David, and this is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we are the Democracy Defenders, and we'll see you tomorrow evening. Good night now.
We'll leave you now with Taylor Swift. Shake It Off, Taylor Swift. Good night.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.